Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Ship the Shore Radio. Radio.
Ahoy, everyone. This is Captain Frank Andretta, and welcome to Ship to Shore Radio. Hey, man, it's very hot outside no matter where you are. And one of the funniest things I saw on Facebook was a guy who said he wanted to move to the islands because he says it's cooler there, which is kind of funny. So this evening, I just want to say to everyone that I am very happy to have a full staff. So to speak, we always trusty first mate Ken from Jersey. How you doing, Ken?
I'm doing good tonight, Captain. I'm actually doing the show live outside in my backyard. So if you hear an occasional plane getting ready to land at Newark Airport, that's what that noise is.
That's no problem at all. You know, sometimes we go by land and vehicle, sometimes we go by ship, sometimes by plane, sometimes by whatever means necessary. But the thing is, we're here. And as our special co-host, guest co-host this evening, we have Daryl Russell, Big D, from the North Coast, our North Coast pirate, also the author of Pirate's Dream, which we'll get a chance to play hopefully a little bit later this evening. How are you doing, Daryl? Seem to have lost Daryl already. How are you doing this evening, Daryl? Well, you know, while we find Brother Daryl, everybody wanted to hear more music, and that's exactly what we're going to do. And we're going to start off with a little Key West music. As we realize it's so hot, what do people do when it's very, very hot? They tend to go to the beach. So let's go there with a little Chris Ream music to get things going just so. We'll be right back. The sun,
times have begun. Oh, stand by the window, I'm gonna be talking. Get off of that computer and be on my way. Life's a waste and time's too precious, better start walking.
Well, look who we happen to find. Someone special in our supposed studio this evening. And if you guys don't know who I'm talking about, we're going to go ahead and play this particular cut so you guys can figure it out on your own. This is called Meet Me on the Border.
Life's kept us busy with jobs and homes and kids in school. Why don't we cut loose, get out and act like crazy fools? Meet me on the boardwalk. We'll be kids again, if only for a little while. Okay.
On the boardwalk, and we'd like for everyone to let your ears meet her right here live on Ship Ashore Radio. Hey, Danny, what's going on? I think you're probably outside of the place about to sing, because it just seems like you're always out singing and performing here lately, and that's a very good thing. But so are they going to let you come on a little bit later this evening? These sound waves are killing us this evening, I think. So, Ken, I know what it is. Ken, I have a sneaking suspicion that you got Danny to come over to Jersey and you're making her a nice cocktail, and the wife is making a sandwich for both of you.
No. Yeah. My sandwich maker.
Yes, indeed. So, Daryl, are you with us, my friend?
I hope I am.
Of course you are, yeah. So how hot was it in the North Coast today?
Well, we set another record here on the North Coast. It was 98. Near the lake, it was 100, about 40 to 60 miles south of the lake. So it was pretty hot.
Yeah, it sounds like that. So what about you, Ken? How hot is it over in Jersey?
It got up to like 95. And then with, like, the heat index, it was just a little bit over 100, but tomorrow is supposed to be, with the heat index, maybe 105, 106. Then there's some bad thunderstorms coming in tomorrow, so to cool it off to 88.
I think that's just ridiculous, personally, that it would get that hot. So, Danny, have you found your way back to us yet? She has not. I tell you, though, that was some awfully good music. If people don't know, she just released a very nice CD as Tropical, and just on Island Time Radio website, hanging out with everyone. As first of all, you guys need to know, just because we're Ship to Shore Radio and it's a different kind of vibe, it really isn't. All of the other shows, Beachfront Radio and Island Time Radio and all of those things, we're all kindred souls, and there's no competition. We all like to go hang out and celebrate the one important thing, and that's the tropical lifestyle. Whether you're in the North Coast or whether you're in Key West or whether you're in Jersey or whether you're in Eastern PA, like I am at this present moment, it's always a good time whenever you think and live the tropical lifestyle. And I'm just kind of wondering, and Danny, have you found your way back yet? She has not. But I got to tell you, talking about it being hot, if you guys could live any place in the world, thinking about the climate and all of those factors, where would that be? Let's start with you, Daryl. If you could move any place in the world, where would you like to be?
Oh, the climate that I would choose would definitely be 70 to 80 year-round with 50% less humidity than we have up here on the North Coast. So I would say somewhere in the tropics.
Somewhere, just somewhere in the tropics, huh?
It doesn't matter where. It could be Belize or Ecuador or Puerto Rico even. So just somewhere nice. Even, I mean, Key West was even cooler than we were, and I just don't understand that.
Well, yeah, it's a funny thing. Here just recently I noticed how it was warmer outside of Key West. Usually Key West is in the 90s and all those things. It was hotter every other place, but Key West seems to stay the same year-round, which is a very good thing, I think. I mean, it's going to be hot in November with Meeting of the Minds, but for right now it's nice and level. As Chris Ream seems to have it best. You know, he lives the life of a true Key Westonian, I guess I will call him. That's what I call him, Key West Chris. Do you guys ever catch his weather reports and things on Facebook?
Yeah, sometimes I see those.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to see what's going on down there. And back to talking about Danny's CD, you know, in the trap rock world, there aren't a whole lot of female trap rockers out there, and I got to tell you, it's very nice to have someone as talented as Danny within the community. And for some reason, I think Danny's rejoined us. Are you with us, Danny?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
This is a commercial.
That would be a good commercial.
If you saw on the Ship the Shore website, Ship the Shore Radio Facebook page, we had a ship out, and it said, "Can you hear me now?" Yes, we can hear you now.
Oh, thank God. I'm like talking to myself for a while, going, "Hello, Daryl Russell. Right? Where's Daryl? I was talking to Daryl."
Yes, you were.
I was, and then all of a sudden it probably sounded like, and then it was gone.
Well, how hot was it there in New York today?
Today it was 97 degrees. That's really hot. Yeah. Worst it was. Not this past weekend, but the previous weekend, I think the hottest it's been is 102. That's hot. Yeah, that's real hot.
That's not. And that's, I mean, that's hot, hot, hot. Everybody party. Yeah.
Hot, hot, hot.
Yeah. The thing, the heat, though, and acoustic guitar.
I'm in a restaurant,
worried.
So if you hear ambient noise, I'm in a restaurant.
Well, that's no problem. Just make sure you order for us. Daryl, what do you have?
There's some great beer here.
Oh, now that's a great start. What are you having this evening as a beautiful beverage?
Well, I had a Bell's Two Hearted Ale, and then I had a Jack and Coke, so I'm feeling pretty good now.
Yeah. As long as although you're not drunk in Mallory Square.
There's still another opportunity.
Yep. The night's still young.
There's another opportunity to be drunk on Mallory Square.
Yeah, they should go down. Everyone should go to Key West at least twice a year if possible. And,
well, this year I will go twice because I'll be back there at Meeting of the Minds. So.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that's going to be a hot, 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 hot time. Even Captain's going to be there as well. So that's going to be, that's under 3 months away right now. Between now and then, you're going to be in New Orleans for a
six-string.
Yeah, we have a bunch. And they're palm trees. And palm trees.
Oh, man, it's going to be hot.
So tell me a little bit about the six-string festival that you will be attending in New Orleans.
It's a six-string music invitational and features talent that's been around for a while, like Sunday Jim White and Jim Morris and John Frenzy are going to be there. But then the new kid, like me, and Captain Josh is going to be there, and John Friday is going to be there. I mean, and Tom Shepard. My God, Tom Shepard is going to be there. It's going to be a great time. It benefits the New Orleans Musicians Clinic, which provides health screening and different kinds of benefits to the musicians that live in New Orleans, because, you know, New Orleans means music. It's really where music kind of, I think music was born in New Orleans, in spite of the world, you know? A lot of great music came out of New Orleans. It has come out of New Orleans, continues to come out of New Orleans. So we're going to there to support that. And it's August 9th through 12th. And you can find out more information about that at www.sixstringsnola.com. And it's going to be great. It's going to be really fantastic. And it's more of what makes it special is it's more about the singer-songwriter. It's more about the music. And it's still a party, but it's less about the party and more about the music. And that's why I'm looking forward to it.
That's
and
really
writing
awesome.
New songs.
You know, you're the perfect segue into what we were going to talk about next, and that's songwriting, because, you know, Daryl, who's a songwriter, I had an opportunity while in Ohio in this last little, we call it the Super 8 Frank and Dread back out there tour of Ohio and the North Coast. That's what we'll call it for the moment. We call it something different every day. But I had an opportunity to hang out with Daryl and talk about songwriting and those things. And when you were on the show last, we talked about songwriting, and occasionally we catch through chat about songwriting as well. But so here we are. I have two songwriters on the program this evening. Is it inconceivable that one day down the road that I might be able to make you guys write a song together? You never know.
Who knows? It could happen.
Yep. And the thing is, as far as, and see, the thing I like about Ken the most is everybody writes a song and Ken will tell you if it's good or not.
Most of the time,
quiet.
Good.
When the kids in the background, you just never know what's going on, and that's the thing. I just go about my business, and they don't call him a trusty first mate for nothing. He won't guide
dog
you wrong.
Dogs barking and trains and planes and all kinds of crazy things.
Made the wrong choice of sitting out in the backyard today, I'll tell you that.
Starting to sweat a little bit, huh?
Yeah. Gotta call Kyle, get that sandwich and a beer soon.
I'm actually at an open mic night, which is kind of fun, and a friend of mine's running it, and I think they're expecting me to play some music.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. I appreciate you taking your time out, and it sounds like your plane that just left New Jersey on the way to pick you up to take you back to Maui Square.
I've been really busy. I'm doing a couple of things in Key West. I'll be playing for the Blue Hen Parrothead Club at the Speakeasy Inn at the Rum Bar on November 3rd from 11 to 1.
Okay.
For one thing. And then there's something I can't announce yet because Lauren Davidson's working on it.
So we'll shake Lauren down for some information.
Lauren's got something in the works.
You got to love it when it starts with, I really can't say anything, but.
You know, that's the way it happens around here.
Everyone who does have a bottle of rum or a glass or a beer or anything right now or whatever you have in your hand, let's raise our glasses to DK, Dennis King, for a second, because it's a wonderful show that's been around since early 2000, and man, the pioneer. Here's to you, DK. Cheers.
Cheers.
Blancha.
Yeah, right. So I know Daryl's probably cracking the Kraken right now, so.
Oh, the Kraken, yes. Release the Kraken.
Yes, indeed.
That's only until Danny brings me some 7 Tiki from Florida.
God, yes, I will find some. I totally forgot. I'm sorry. So sorry.
It's quite all right.
You better get it before I go back to Ohio, because I nearly consumed a whole bottle while I was in Ohio. So, Daryl,
I had some recently. It's pretty damn good.
How recently? Like 5 minutes ago? Just kidding.
No, not here. It was somebody else's. It was like a week ago. So very good.
Well, here's a quick question. Your favorite rum right now. I want to know, what is your favorite rum?
My favorite rum?
Yes.
I don't know. Well, I haven't tried enough rums to be an aficionado, but I don't know. But the nice basic rum, I like the Cruzan for some strange reason. It's but I'm not a big spice rum drinker. I just like a nice darkish, medium dark rum. I've tried Goslings and I've tried Myers, and I think they're fine. But like just for a basic drinking rum, I mean the Cruzan aged rum is pretty good. But
I'm sorry.
But but I don't know enough about rum to be good at it.
Captain, we have another guest calling in.
I need to experience more rum.
It's John Friday.
Well, what do you know? Let's just bring the velvet teddy bear right in and join the action.
John Friday?
Yes.
John Friday's here?
Yep.
Oh, crap.
Is that you bring out everybody.
That's fantastic.
Well, I found out you were on and I had to show up.
And the Washington Nationals have just won another one. I'm just kidding. How are you doing, John?
Well, when I think National League, I'm doing great, and when I think American League, I'm just sad.
Yeah,
you guys almost gave up three touchdowns to us yesterday.
It's
we missed two extra points.
Well, everyone who's listening, we are indeed having a wonderful time. We have Daryl Russell and Danny Hoy, and now the Velvet Teddy Bear of Chop Rock. We have John Friday, who's good on any day of the week.
Hello.
So, John, how are you doing?
I am doing great. Been putting a lot of, as Ken knows and Danny knows, I've been putting a lot of time on the road so far this summer.
Oh yeah.
I am taking a long, drawn-out tour of this country, apparently.
There's a lot of country to see. A lot of country to see.
How was your house concert in Jersey last weekend? The reason why I'm asking, I was down in Florida where John's from, and he was up here, and I missed it.
You know, it's funny. There were like three people that I knew that are in that area, and I'm like, we're like, contact them and say, hey, you know, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be up in this area. I'm going to be doing a show here. And why don't you come out for it? And they're like, we're in Florida.
That's wrong.
Well, I got to tell both. I don't know, but a lot of funny things happen. Like, for instance, you guys didn't know this. I told Danny this, but a good friend of mine in Key West, Chris Ream, he texted me because you guys were at Smoking Tuna playing together.
John and I like to have a little fun playing music and carrying on, as it were.
So, when are you two going to write something together?
Fun stuff. What? Write a song?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
when are you two going to write something together?
That would be fun.
Well, I suspect that that's going to happen before too long. I think we need to be in the same place at the same time sober for long enough to actually write.
It's a hell of a problem when you can't even practice songs together. Like, in spite of ourselves, which I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn that song.
Yeah, pretty much our practice session for the Smokin' Tuna show was, the 20 seconds before each song.
Yes, pretty much.
You pulled it off, though. You pulled it off. That's all that matters.
the Smokin' Tuna was flying by the seat of her pants, and shameless self-promotion is all that was.
But it was a lot of fun. I always have a good time when I get to jam with Danny.
It's a hell of a good time.
Well, I can tell you this right now. It's a pleasure to have everyone on, all these songwriters out. And you see, Ken, I'm taking the night off as far as the galley's concerned. You'll have to cook for us tonight. We'll just get you the rum because we're going to write some songs.
Sandwiches for everyone.
Rum writing songs.
Where's Carol?
Rum writing songs, people.
I'm
already
everyone
eating.
Bring your favorite beverage and your guitar. Let's write.
What's John's favorite rum?
It's coming to that.
You know, it's not Cruzan, I can tell you that.
No, I'm
I was listening
not.
In. I was listening in for a few seconds. Yeah. But no, I mean, I do like Kuzan, but actually, I gotta say, my favorite, my absolute favorite rum is Pirate.
Ah, the Pirate rum.
Who would have figured?
Yes.
That or 1919. I love 1919.
So when I finally meet you at the meeting of the minds, you're gonna have my bottle waiting as we shake hands.
Okay.
Yeah, Ken's gonna have that.
Wait, how many of us are going to Meeting of the Minds?
I am.
For raise your hands.
Everybody, wave. Okay. That's awesome.
We're all going on your plane.
Oh, fantastic!
Certainly. You guys are lucky. You're going to be playing in venues. I'm going to be it's unannounced yet, but I can tell you I'll be playing every date in there. It just hasn't been announced yet. In fact, if you hear Ray and Pans and something you haven't heard before, since I'm just now fully fledged getting out there again, you'll know it's me. But I can't say who. But
I'm
going to
follow.
Huh?
I'm going to follow my ears.
You should. It'll probably be underneath a certain tent that you guys will say, oh, I should have guessed. But, yeah, I'm going to be there, and I'm going to try to come out and see everyone play as much as possible during that time. But I'll probably be sweating from playing the pan. It's going to be like 96 degrees in the shade there in Jamaica.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
now
I hate to run off on you guys. I really have to go. If you don't mind.
Oh, sure. I show up and then she leaves.
Well, so Daryl.
Sorry.
You know why Daryl's quiet, Danny? You know why Daryl's quiet? Daryl is quiet because he's mourning the fact that you're going to leave our panel, and he's probably sneaking drink. I know he's a 7 tiki. He's finishing the bottle off while we do all the chit chat. Daryl, what do you have to say to Danny before she runs off?
Chips ahoy.
Somebody always says that.
Awesome.
Danny, have a great night, and it's been a pleasure being on with you.
I look forward to
coming over to the coast and meeting everybody over there, and it doesn't matter where we'll meet, we'll get something done on paper together.
Well, I want to work on going up to Ohio anyway, and coming out your direction anyway.
Well, bring it on, and we'll make sure that you get everything taken care of. I've heard rumors that the hospitality in Ohio is pretty damn good.
That's true. I heard Put-in Bay is really awesome.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. In fact, you got to go play. John, you too. You've got to make it through Ohio again soon.
I would actually love to get up to Ohio. I'm going to be real close to there in September, so I could definitely make a side trip.
Really?
Really?
Really? You have to let me know when. Maybe we can make it a duo.
Yeah, well, basically I've got a house concert on the Anna Maria Island down here in Florida on September 1st, and then it's looking like I don't actually have to be anywhere until the 8th.
Okay.
The 8th I have to be in St. Louis.
Oh.
So I've got that whole week to play with.
Hmm. I'll have to look at that.
Well, Danny, I'm going to have to let you go and sing. I'm too bad you won't be able to allow us to hear live. But I'm going to let you...
Sorry about that.
That's no problem. We're going to play... You are everyone's favorite Tropa gal, so as we
the one and only.
Those T-shirts, by the way, I was in the studio as well as Daryl was, and those are wonderful T-shirts, but I tell you, I'm not going to wear a pink one.
Well, I've got other colors. I'll send some out for sure.
Carol's got the green one.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm just at this open mic, and I don't have a whole lot of time left to play, so I better
let
daddle.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for coming on, and we'll catch
you
again.
Wait, kiddo, break a leg. I'll be pulling for you.
I love you all, each and every one of you.
Thank you very much.
And every one of you. Thank you. Thank you for everything.
No problem.
Thanks.
All right. I'll see you guys down the road, okay? See you at the end of the road.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, Danny Hoy.
All right. Bye-bye.
We'll take that as a sign that it's time to play by Danny Lloyd Trapagal. We'll all be back shortly. We have Daryl Russell. We also have John Friday and Ken from Jersey. And yours truly, Captain Frank and Dredd. We'll be right back. And thanks for listening to Ship the Shore Radio. Next up, Danny Lloyd Trapagal. Thanks for listening.
Second job on weekends to save a little money for a getaway. She wants to go on a Caribbean cruise to hide away from her city blues. There's a woman on her iPhone listening to her phone scream. He keeps on talking, but her thoughts keep her walking along the beach on Cedar Key.
Back to Ship to Shore Radio. This is Captain Frank and Judd, and we're having a very good time. On our panel this evening, we have John Friday and Daryl Russell and Ken from Jersey. And so tell me this, John. Have you really?
Now first down for Tampa Bay. They needed that completion to Ben, and now they get a good run from Blunt. He won't go down. LeGarrette Blunt, what a run!
Just checking. You know, it's not quite 10 o'clock yet, but sometimes you see that. So, John, you really want to come to Ohio, to the North Coast, and play, huh?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I have been contacting the folks up there for several years now, every year, about Flocking of the Faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying anything, But I've been trying awfully hard to get up there to put in bay, and it hasn't happened yet.
I got to tell you, my brother, that's a tough one. The closest I could get to Puddin' Bay, I ended up playing at Mango Mama's, which is, Daryl, what a block from the ferry?
Yeah, if that. It's just a short walk. In fact, everybody coming off the island has to pass Mango Mama's to get to wherever they're going.
So that being said, that is one venue that we need to try to get you in there, because the sound system is incredible. I mean, incredible. It really is. So, Mango Mamas, I hope you're writing that down or I'll email you. I'm telling you, that's a really great place you'd like to play, as well as, just a bunch of places. I'll tell you about them. But anything we can do... And see, Daryl lives right there, but anything that can happen to get you into the North Coast, you know, if they don't want to book us all properly, then we'll just have our own little festival. We'll call it You Should Have Done It, and Now We Do It Ourselves Fest. No. Do the Redskins, now if I understand, you're a Redskin fan, right?
Oh, yes. I was born in Washington, D.C., grew up in Maryland, right outside D.C., you know, so, yeah, I mean, we had burgundy and gold diapers.
Oh, boy. I mention this because do the Redskins play the Browns this year?
To be honest, I don't know. I think so. That we play the North this year, but we might.
That would be awesome if it happened, because then that would be the perfect time to head up and get some work around the North Coast. And if they're playing in that area, if they're playing in Cleveland, I'm trying to work this out. Really?
Yeah, week 15, it's Sunday, December 16th, and at Cleveland.
Okay.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough. It's going to be cold on the North Coast, but I'll tell you what, we can heat it up with some good music. When it comes to music, we're all brothers. When it comes to football, y'all are on your own.
Isn't that, yeah, Ken and his Giants. I mean, really, just, you know what, my good friend and first mate, I don't want to hear about the Giants right now, okay? I don't.
I need them to start, so I'm going like sports insane here, because my Twins suck right now. Although we scored 19 against the Orioles yesterday. That's more than we scored in the month.
Oh, I know. I don't know what.
and now we have none.
I don't know
one
what we did.
Orioles
we pissed
tonight.
Y'all off or something.
I don't know what happened.
Huh?
That's our run for the rest of July. Cause we're getting shut out tonight.
Well, they have 17 minutes to clear that up before, which, by the way, everyone, as you know, on Tuesday nights, we're off with Ship Ashore Radio at 9 o'clock and at 10, Dreaded Sports Talk. And tonight, I'm going to tell you right off the bat, it's going to be a nice one, because we're going to tackle a couple subjects that people will want to hear what we have to say. And, John, we might just make you or ask you to hang on for a little bit after we finish this segment of Ship to Shore Radio. Our signature captain and first mate and special guest, which I have a special co-host this evening, Daryl Russell. And you have ended up to be our special guest, unannounced, having a good time, relaxing. And we've even figured out that we need to make sure that you end up on the North Coast somehow. Maybe you need to talk to Emil Bennett, perhaps.
Well, you know, I do need to get back in touch with him. I kind of really dropped the ball on that, because I've been so focused on this thing that I'm doing, out a little further west and down into Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But, looking at the map, it's not all that much of a detour to go to Ohio.
That's right. It really isn't. And then, just in 2.5 hours away, you can even drop Pittsburgh on there too. See, I'm already arranging your tour. I guess I'll have to arrange your tour of cities that have great football teams and great traditions. That's it. You know, John, that's what it should be. We should do tour of all the great football cities and just accidentally have Saturday night gigs or Sunday gigs. No, Saturday night. We need Sunday for football in places where our teams are playing.
You know, I think that's a grand idea. So, of course, I don't know how I'm going to manage to go from, you know, book something. Well, St. Louis isn't going to be too hard. New Orleans won't be too hard. Tampa.
Yeah.
New York might be a little tough to get a gig in, though.
Oh, you can get the gig, but it's a matter of whether you get paid.
Especially when I show up in my Redskins jersey to play the gig. I guess that might. When I show up in my RG3 jersey, that might not be so well received.
Well, I know how you can avoid trouble, John. Just make sure that you take the subway and don't drive, because I don't see them slashing the wheels on the subway. That's what you should do. Just take your guitar and take the subway. That way they won't get you. No, I'm not talking bad about New Yorkers. I really am not. No, but so where are you playing next, John?
Well, actually, tomorrow I'm going to be in Tampa. I'm at a place called Whiskey Joe's Bar and Grill. I'm doing a
in Clearwater
happy hour kind of thing.
Clearwater. Uh-huh.
Yep. Got to get the gator bites.
Oh, yeah. You play there often, don't you?
Well, this is only the second time I've played at Whiskey Joe's, but I do play up in that area quite a bit. There's a nice little spot that's right on Clearwater Beach that I usually play at once or twice a month.
That's cool. So, you know who I'm about to ask about, right? I'm going to ask about a certain entity, person, and troublemaker. So how's the troublemaker been?
That doesn't really narrow it down in my world.
Buddy, how's Buddy been doing?
Oh, that troublemaker. Buddy is Buddy is on, he's actually laying low right now.
Uh-oh.
Because while we were in New Jersey, New York, and Maryland, Buddy apparently was on a covert mission to procure some Cuban cigars.
Uh-oh.
Apparently he did manage to get them. However, the person that he was supposed to get them for, he has not received them yet.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. So I think Buddy's keeping a low profile for a little while. That, and he's still pissed off because he's not getting any royalty checks from that movie.
Which movie? I missed it.
Oh, there's that movie Ted that's out right now?
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to watch. Yeah, wow. It's right off this life, too. Poor Buddy.
If you get a chance to see it, I would recommend going and seeing it. You'll recognize Buddy right away.
Wait a minute. I got a strange phone call from Florida. So that might have been Buddy on a disposable phone, so I should have answered it.
That could have been him.
Wow. Thank goodness for disposable phones, I think. Well, guys, we're going to take just about 26, no, you know, we're going to take 39 seconds to let everyone know they're listening to Ship the Shore Radio, and we'll be right back.
Listening to Ship the Shore Radio with Captain Frank and Dredd.
Ah, yeah, the steel pans. What greater time to have them than right now. And John, I've got to ask this question. So have you been playing any gigs or been in contact with Dave Lapio much at all?
Well, Dave and I haven't had any shows together for a while. We did some kind of corporate thing a couple months ago, and we had a lot of fun, but it was that's the last time we've actually worked together. Dave's been working on a new album.
Ah.
So he's been, you know, every spare moment he's been locking himself in his studio and recording, and I've also been working on a new album that's going to be released next month, hopefully. And I actually just sent Dave the roughs because he's going to be putting a little pan on some of the songs. So yeah, he's been too busy to hang out with me lately. He's he's the hardest working man in tropical music.
Yeah, he
works like 29 out of 30 days a month.
That could be a good thing. It could be.
Well, I'm sure it's a good thing when he checks the bank account.
How did your wedding go the other day, John?
actually, it went very well. I was beginning to get a little bit nervous about it because I wasn't sure how well organized it was going to be.
Was it outside? Did you
for
play
those
outside?
That hadn't heard about it, I had a wedding that I was doing out in Jupiter, Florida, over on the East Coast. And once I finally found the place, because my GPS kind of steered me wrong, it was kind of weird. I had to set up inside, and there was no fan, and it was about 9,000 degrees where I was setting up. So there were a few, you know, technical issues, I guess, logistical issues. But all in all, it was a great show, and they got married, and, you know, nothing.
Was this the one in Jupiter or the one that you did on Sanibel?
Oh, this was the one in Jupiter.
Okay.
It was last Saturday. Yeah, the one on Sanibel was on the 4th of July.
Yeah, you stopped by our place before you went over. I know.
Yeah.
You weren't quite sure how it was going to go.
Yeah, that one worked out okay, too, but it's, you know, the thing is, weddings always wind up working out okay for me because I kind of understand what they're going through, and I do what I can to make it as pleasant an experience as I can.
Make the groom's last minutes of freedom good. Hope Carol's not listening.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes I have to really, you know, think through what I'm putting on the set list because, you know, there's a few songs that are maybe not exactly the best ones in the world to do at a wedding.
That's true. I can think of a few right now. Weddings are always
fun. But I always
fun.
Do good advice. I always play good advice for the bride and groom. Kind of my little gift to them. But, hopefully he doesn't make the same dumb mistakes that so many others have made.
Speaking of marriage, so Daryl, how's your wife? Or I'm sorry, that was.
We're not married yet. She's my fiance.
I know you guys are thinking where did it come from. It's a running thing that I pick up on while on the Island Time radio show. And John, you know, your name gets around a whole lot. I can't tell you how many producers and artists and things mention you, but you should have been in the studio last Monday. It was, had a great time. during the show, and also at the was that a pub we attended? I mean, it was it had actually absolutely everyone's name earmarked on it. Candy would have liked it because they actually had some interesting things on the menu. But John, your name keeps getting mentioned everywhere, and I keep going to these places, and I think, wow, wouldn't this be a cool place if I met so and so here for the first time, or we just had a beer or a rum together? But DK is another good reason, and the Island Time Radio Show, for you to come to the North Coast, because then you learn all these inside jokes and things that I became privileged to with Daryl and DK. Obviously, they've done that before, but you need to do Island Time Radio sometime soon, my friend.
Well, you know, it's funny. DK had approached me in Key West. I don't remember if it was. Of course, those kinds of memories are a little hazy anyway, but and so I don't remember if it was this past year or the year before. I think it was just this past November, though. And he said, oh, you know, I need to get you on Island Time. And I'm like, yeah, just let me know. Just drop me a note, let me know. And so I haven't had a chance yet to do any kind of interview or anything on there, but I figure it'll come down the pipe sooner or later.
Absolutely, you should do it. And if you're in the North Coast, I'm sure, I'm not their booker, but I'm sure that, oh, wait a minute, hang on, I see someone online, we should find out who's here. It's a 440 area code, so let's see who's on the Ship to Shore line. Welcome to Ship to Shore Radio, and who do we have on the line?
Hi, my name is Emily.
Hi, Russell, Emily.
My dad's with you.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh. So, Emily, how are you doing this evening?
Good. How are you?
Fabulous. So
I just want to put out there that Frozen Margarita is my favorite song.
Yes, you know, and Frozen Margarita is coming from Daryl's Pirate's Dream CD, which hopefully as we go into the next hour, we'll have an opportunity to play just that tune, Frozen Margarita. And
yeah.
So I imagine you're very proud of your dad and everything too. And you probably got to sit through all the times he's playing guitar and writing songs and things too.
Yeah.
All right. So is there anything you... Any advice you have for your dad?
What?
Any advice you have for your father at this moment? This is your opportunity. He won't get mad because we got him on the air. So.
Well, my sister said to shout out to your awesome kids.
Okay, well, we'll give a shout out to my awesome kids. That's Carrie and Emily.
I love you,
Daddy. I love you too, sweetheart.
Don't
forget about July 26th.
That's right. We go fishing every July 26th. Every day after Christmas in July, there, Captain, we go fishing and we have a good time together. That's our tradition there. So I won't forget about the 26th, sweetheart.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in, and I think we're going to try to get that on in the next hour. And thank you very much for calling in, Emily. Thank you so much, and a big shout-out to you and your sister.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Have a nice evening.
Thank you, too.
I would love to see your face about right now, Daryl. I really would. I bet you're as red as this red microphone that tells me that a person's on the air.
They did the same thing when I was on FM radio, and it blew my mind because I had no idea what the heck was going on. And they were talking about a song I wrote that was being played on the FM radio. It was for the Cavaliers playoffs back in 2008. And I wrote, I finished the song at a Cleveland Indians baseball game. And my eldest daughter, Carrie, who you heard in the background, she calls in. She goes, they said, well, so what do you think about the song? And she starts off, first off, that's my dad.
Oh, no. You're drowning. catch me on the other side, my friend. It's time for Dreaded Sports Talk. Be right
back. Dreaded Sports Talk.
Sports Talk on the Dreaded Sports Talk Network. You're listening to Dreaded Sports Talk on the Dreaded Sports Talk Network with Captain Frank and Dread, Trusty First Mate Ken from Jersey, and Evil Rob from Evil Side of Sports 6.9. Thanks for listening.
All right, everyone, you're welcome to Dreaded Sports Talk. Good evening, good evening, good evening. And we are privileged to have on our panel this evening Daryl Big D. Russell, our North Coast pirate and singer-songwriter, who has a disc called Pirate's Dream out at this moment, and the Velvet Teddy Bear of Chop Rock, Mr. John Friday, and who we heard on the first program that he has a CD coming out sometime here, hopefully within the next couple of months. And Ken from Jersey, as well as me, I'm nobody. I'm just the captain. But here we are, Dreaded Sports Talk, and right now I'm going to tell everybody we're going to go around the horn, and no, I didn't steal that from ESPN. We're going to go around the ship and talk about something that's really on my friggin' mind, and that's the thing that's happening at Penn State. Again, Paterno, we talked about this. We were red in the face. Roberts here, and also Ken from Jersey was here, but I'm going to try to keep it short so everyone else can say what they have to say. I have 3 points to make. Number one, that statue needs to calm down. Number two, they deserve the death penalty. And number three, I'm tired of hearing about Penn State because there are people who love that school and love Joe Pa, and no matter what you say, people are going to be on either side of the fence, and everyone's entitled to their opinion. And man, I've just given you three main points to mind. I feel as if I've been cheated because I wrote a nice blog. It's nice only because the people said so. It had the highest amount of reads of any blog I've ever written. It was picked up nationally when I said Joe Pa should be the main coach. Well, he is now passed, and I'm so sorry for the Paterno family and everything that's happened. But I say to you that the Penn State program, although these kids had nothing to do with it, that's life. They should absolutely have the program taken away from them. I say, invariably, that they should get the death penalty. And I'm sure I'll have more comments as we go around the horn. And I'm going to start this whole thing. I have to ask John, where are you coming from on this, my friend? John Friday.
Well, you know, I mean, this is one that I've been following off and on ever since the scandal, you know, the whole story first broke. And, of course, I mean, I came real close out of high school to going to Penn State. And, you know, so it to the point where I actually did a campus visit and met Joe Pa, and so of all things, he actually told me I was too small to play linebacker for him. but you know, with all that, I actually, believe it or not, I have a problem with taking away the football program at Penn State, and it's not for Penn State. I think that the school and in the first place, the individuals that were involved in covering it up they need to be gone. I wouldn't give them a job at a Burger King for the rest of their lives. I mean, I see nothing redemptive in what they did. But I don't know that I like the idea of the school itself making money or the athletic program making money off of their, football games. But I do have a problem with these kids. Who had nothing to do with it, who were in Pop Warner leagues when all this was going on, paying the price because, yes, the point was made a few days ago. Somebody was mentioning that they could all transfer. You know, they could give them a free ride transfer to any school. Well, what if they can't get into another school? What if they're a starter at Penn State, but they can't even get into another school? So I have that, that aspect of it floating around. On the other hand, the school itself allowed a culture of football and the money to be made from football and the glory to be gotten from football being more important than anything, including the lives and dignity of these poor boys. And so I can kind of see both sides of that argument.
So you're saying that you would say necessarily, you wouldn't necessarily give Penn State the death penalty, but you would see how, I'm not going to explain for you. So if you gave us a synopsis of your point of view, what would that be?
Well, I think that they, it hurts a lot of other people, a lot of other programs. For one thing, they've already got these contracts in place. They've already got this schedule in place. That really is going to hurt a lot of other programs that have nothing to do with this and don't deserve to have to deal with that. But it seems to me that there's got to be some way to make sure that every cent of football revenue for at least the next year does not go to Penn State, and maybe, honestly, it should go to every victim of Sandusky's that they can identify. I say let them play the games, let them make the money, and take that money and give it to the people who were hurt by this culture.
I can live with what you're saying. And in my final notes, if everyone's gone, I will tell you that's a point well taken and one that I feel is not unreasonable to take the funds from football and to give it to the victims of these crimes. Sandusky, and I hate to tell you, if you had played linebacker, guess who you would have been playing for?
I know, but And actually, that whole problem, had anything untoward happened, that whole problem might have been resolved a long time ago.
Yes. Okay. I understand where you're coming from, my friend. And I appreciate you weighing in because this is a hot-button issue for so many. And I'm letting Ken finish last because I know he has a lot invested in really liking Penn State, and I'm sure this has given them many times to think it over and to chew on it. So, Ken, I'm going to let you go last. I'd like to know what the man from the North Coast, Darrell Russell, has to say about this issue.
Well, I have a lot of friends that enjoy Penn State and the traditions that it held, and not removing the traditions and the records. There's not too much that hasn't been said that I'm not going to say already. So with that, I'm in agreement where they need to play football. There needs to be some type of sanction against or just clean house and bring the new guys in and don't take away from the the kids that are coming into the program now, let them play ball, but there needs to be something set up for those kids and those young men that have fallen to this guy. And I think, well, when I become mayor or king of the of whatever, there will be a gallows pole in every square in every town, and they'll hang. And that's the way I look at that.
Those are strong words, but that's also straight and to the point. So, have anything to add? That's as straight as it's gonna get. So, Daryl, I guess that's what you want to get across. And in fact, you made your argument more concise, or your statement more concise than any of us thus far. And I take that under consideration, and parts of that might be a good solution to the problem as well. Now, then, all week long when I realized we would have to talk about this issue, I was kind of cautiously waiting to hear what Ken has to weigh in on, because I know you've thought about it a lot, and I know it's given you a lot of heartache and grief, Ken, but what say you?
I don't think they should institute the death penalty, but they should pretty much clean house whoever they haven't cleaned out already. I do think it's unfair to the kids who had nothing to do with this. Take the money, set up a fund for the victims, like we all said. And if you don't have football, it also affects the other sports, because football is the big sport on campus, and that funds a lot of other that funds most of the other major sports. If you don't have football, it takes a lot of jobs away from the community, and it's just a trickle-down effect where it's just, it's not good for the whole community. You want to try and, get over this and try and keep things as normal as possible. As far as, the coaches are all gone, the administration who had anything to do with this is all gone. In fact, even one of the prosecutors is gone. There was an assistant prosecutor back in, I guess it was 2003, who was working on this case, and all of a sudden he just disappeared, and to this day they still haven't found him. So I kind of like to know where he went, but I don't think the kid who haven't been in should suffer for this. As far as the statue, here's the hard part. I mean, he was there 61 years of service to the university. His time, his effort, he's donated billions of dollars to the school. I'm kind of torn between, what he did was just god-awful wrong. But it just seems like a shame that 61 years of, service is totally forgotten, even though this was a horrible, horrible thing. And it wasn't like he did it, although I know he could have prevented a lot of other kids from being abused if he came forward. But so could a lot of other people, from the president to the vice president, the chancellor, McQuarrie. Don't tell me, I don't believe anybody else in that coaching staff could say we had no idea what was going on. The disturbing part was, while this whole thing was going on, and he was under investigation, 2 weeks before he was actually indicted, he still had free run of the Penn State facilities. He was at practice. He was still bringing kids to games. So there needs to be sanctions against the school, but I don't think it's fair to punish the kids who haven't, it has anything to do with this. As far as the statue, I guess if you took it down, I guess he did a lot. This was a horrible thing that he covered up. So I guess if you had to take the statue down, you take it down. Just don't penalize everybody else. Take the, like John Darrell said, take the football revenue and set up a fund for all the victims and let them use that money for whatever they need.
Nicely put, and I will qualify what I said by just mentioning this. Because I have nothing invested in Penn State, I really don't, I thought that for so long, they always snuck up on people on the football side of things, but for me, this is absolutely not a football issue, but yet it is. The reason is, if you look at the bylaws of the NCAA, lack of institutional control, unfortunately, looking at it from that angle, as a football issue, as a collegiate issue. There was no control. There was total lack of control since 1998. So using the NCAA bylaws, they should get a death penalty. But I see, everyone sees what happened to SMU, although that was just a matter of money. I think people should, by and large, figure out a way, sign a petition, whatever. I think that the Penn State should be allowed to continue to play because they are a juggernaut when it comes to going out and getting donations and raising money. So I think if anything comes out of this, the victims perhaps can find, you're not going to find healing through money, but I think to compensate them properly and for Penn State to do the right thing, I think what they should do is come up with a system that has you guys, in fact, we should send them a tape of this program because overall everyone has come up with the best solution to this in terms of the school and paternal. Yes, the stature should come down. It should. It really should. But the money should go to the victims. And, Daryl, I like your idea. All Sandusky, they're not done with him. I don't even like to say his name. I really don't. In fact, we were riding through Ohio from a gig and saw Sandusky and another. Just whenever you even hear anything Sandusky, that's going to come to everybody's mind. I mean, Sandusky, he's done. He's over. But give the money to the victims. That's what I say. I think it would be a very, very good thing overall. So that being said, guys, I appreciate everyone joining the proceedings this evening. One, probably, John, you probably had no idea that you were going to get suckered into another hour.
Well, you know, I mean, I did join the other one pretty late, so.
Well, man, that's quite all right. And then Daryl, I'm sure, I mean, this isn't Island Time Radio anymore. We're getting all kind of issues. I tell you, though, I had such a good time there. I hope we can only fix it to where you'll want to come back here as well. And Ken and I have been through a lot on this program. We went through a lot of hot-button issues and things like that. But one of the biggest ones was that Penn State thing. And we also had fun laughing at these idiots. I mean, absolute idiots and not just the NFL, but in general, these professional athletes. Look, you got to laugh, but yet you got to feel sorry, or not. Dez Bryant, did you guys hear about the latest thing? He allegedly slapped his mother. The family dispute? Yeah. Unfortunately, as you guys know, I don't stop here. You know what? I don't believe in being politically correct. I believe in being correct. And we're not going to bring up her record or anything from her past or anything like that. But just because he's, wow, really? I was about to go there. I won't. But Dez Bryant, on the football level, if you were the Dallas Cowboys, knowing how much trouble he's gotten in and how two Hall of Famers have said they don't want anything to do with him, anything to do with him whatsoever because they just can't get through to him. If you're the Dallas Cowboys, would you cut your losses soon? Or is he a Calvin Johnson type receiver that you can let it ride a little bit longer? We'll start with you, John. Would you keep him or would you boot him out? Choose the Cowboys.
Well, you know, the Cowboys have a long-standing, they're like the Raiders in that they have a long-standing tradition of taking people that really don't work and play well with others and thinking that they can, you know, that just because they have some athletic ability that they can, you know, work miracles with them. And it usually winds up coming back to bite them, which, you know, anything that hurts the Cowboys is, in my opinion, a good thing. So, you know, I mean, but I don't think if you've even got guys on the team that are saying, look, I just don't want to work with this guy. A lot of teams finally got the message about T.O. that he was not going to grow up. He was not going to get it out of his system. And all the ability and talent in the world, you know, there's a reason that they have coaches on sports teams. You have to be able to be coached. And if you can't be coached, if you can't work and play well with others, I say get, you know, be done.
It's time that character, you know, became important again, I think, in sports.
I'll take that a step further for you, John. It's his mom. The guy hit his mom. I don't want you
on
my...
Well, that was the point. That was the next point I was actually going to make was, you know, if it was my mom and I did that, the team wouldn't have to worry about cutting me. They'd have to worry about picking up all the pieces.
Exactly. Because in the days that we grew up, we respected our parents, and money wasn't an issue. The money and the power that's given, or lack of power, because these athletes have so many people doing so many things for them regarding travel arrangements, dinner arrangements, dry cleaning, and this is not a joke, this is real, that they just don't know how to handle everyday normal life, like you and I, booking our own shows, transportation to and from, you know, oh, I got to go to New Jersey this weekend, how am I going to get there? They don't have that concept. You and I, if we had done this, the team would have been sending flowers to our mothers and saying, thank you for straightening them up. I don't agree with this at all. I think he needs to be set down for at least a year, no money, or cut. And I wouldn't let him play for a while.
Well, I actually agree. I agree with that. I think that at some point, you have to make a stand about character. I mean, you know, and it's a trite phrase. I mean, it really is. It's one of the most overused phrases ever, that character matters. But character does matter. I mean, it really does. And, you know, again, I keep thinking, you know, if I ever lifted a hand to my mom, the team wouldn't be sending her, you know, they'd be sending her flowers, you know, with a note of condolence over the loss of her son.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. $31.5 million. Do you think that why does he need to slap his mom? I don't know what the argument was about. It doesn't even matter what it's about.
Doesn't matter what it was, yeah.
That's your mom. You don't act like that. Regardless of how you go ahead.
Oh, I'm just saying, you know, and really it doesn't matter who it is. I mean, slapping a woman, wow, there's a manly thing to do.
Absolutely.
Now we're going to say slapping your mother. Ooh, wow. That's all that needs to be said. I think the captain wants to move on to Marshawn Lynch and this DUI, right?
Well, I want to hear what Ken has to say about this one.
He should be released, but according to the union and the salary cap crap, they can't do that. But he should be suspended. This guy shouldn't play for a year. No salary. Let him see what it's like to not be special. If I could find a way and have him released, but the Cowboys can't do that because of the union and all this salary cap crap. They got to kind of nobody's. You can't trade him because nobody's going to want to take him now. Except maybe the Jets. He could play with Santonio Holmes.
Yeah, that's basically
that's,
very
that's
true.
That's another circus. I'm waiting to see what's going to happen there. That's going to be an interesting season in New York with him and Tebow and Sanchez.
That's going to be very interesting indeed. But in fact, we're going to be talking about them here very shortly. I'm doing this particular show. Then there's Marshawn Lynch, who just got a DUI. I mean, really, guys, can't you stay out of trouble? I mean, I don't get it. I mean, I'm just going to mention him. We don't need to get too deep into it because he was charged with allegedly a DUI. And let's just continue on. Doomerville was also charged with brandishing a gun in Florida just yesterday as well. I mean,
right.
Come on, really, guys. I mean, if you give me all of that money, I can assure you, I would be out on my yacht every moment I wasn't on the field.
Staying
out
of trouble.
Exactly. I don't get it, really. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. So, and then,
even
and
with
then,
Ben, not a football-related story, but Jason Kidd just signed a contract with the Knicks, runs into a pole at 60 miles an hour. They said he didn't even slow down. The police said there were no skid marks. He just hit the pole and didn't even know he hit it.
Yeah, I mean, really?
Wow. The ironic part, though, he said it was a cable vision pole. So they were like, they were talking about that on WFIN here. They go, imagine those phone calls to Cablevision, you know, Mr. Dolan, the guy who owns the Knicks.
Yes,
yeah, we're not getting our cable service is out. You know, well, that's okay. We're going to have it fixed. Our star point guard just rang your pole down.
That's crazy. Do you remember how we all joked? Go ahead, my friend.
I was just going to throw it in there. Another Northeast Ohio connection, the Dolans.
Yeah.
It all comes back to the North Coast.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Midwest right now, and that is Matt Forte. I remember how last year, ad nauseum, everyone talked. There were websites, pay Matt Forte, pay Matt Forte. Well, they finally paid him. 4 years for $32 million and $8 million per year. But I have yet to see what the guaranteed money is on that contract. Does anyone have an idea?
It wasn't mentioned, so I don't know. But the guy was 80-something percent of their offense. I know he had the knee injury last year, but they checked him out. And he was like, you got to pay a guy like that. I don't understand it. 80-something percent of your offense, and you're going to play games with him, you know?
Absolutely. And then there's Ray Rice, which I'm sure that John will have a comment on, and perhaps Daryl is as well. So who's more valuable to their teams, Ray Rice or Matt Forte?
Go ahead, John.
Oh, gosh. You know what? I don't know that I really have an opinion on that. It really depends on which one stays healthy. You know, that's the big unknown in sports. I mean, you know, you pay a guy, you know, $32 million, guarantee $18 million of it or whatever, and the next day he goes out and blows an Achilles or a knee, and you don't have him.
That's true. We're definitely going to wait and see on that one. Daryl, what do you have to say about it?
Well, I mean, Forte made one Pro Bowl. That was his first Pro Bowl that he made. He missed the final four games. Didn't he miss the final four games of the season after that loss to Kansas City? So they didn't lose those games. He just didn't play. They fell out of contention, if I'm remembering my season correct. Ray Rice, I don't know. I think Ray Rice is more valuable to the Ravens than Forte is to the Bears, to be honest. We'll see how the training camps go and how his knees come out before I really make a statement. I mean, but either way, $31.5 million, $32 million for Forte, $40 million over 5 years for Ray Rice. That's a lot of money. Had they not getting new contracts, they would have been at $8 million for the year, both of them.
Well, you know what, man? You better watch your back talking about the Chicago Bears running back. You know, I know the problem. You think the Baltimore Ravens are the Cleveland Browns? That's long gone, man. That's the problem.
The Ravens are the Ravens.
Yes.
The Ravens. The Ravens are just a dirty bird.
Oh boy. Speaking of birds, like the one like the one Drew Brees was getting ready to flip at the Saints, and we all know that Drew Brees is ..
the greatest fantasy quarterback in history.
And don't you ever forget, it's good that he finally was paid, but so it's been contended that they could have signed him to that same deal much earlier on. Do you really believe that, Ken?
I think so. The Saints just were – he was underpaid based on what other quarterbacks in the NFL were making, and especially for his contribution. And not only on the field, he did a lot for New Orleans, you know, after Katrina. He was, you know, he was like Mr. New Orleans. He keeps his nose clean. He's not in trouble. You underpaid him for all those years. Just pay the guy the money. Your coaching staff is falling apart because of the all the scandal going on. You need to try and keep the team – as together as you can, and by, you know, playing games with him, and it's just, it would have been a morale issue if this thing carried on. They should have paid him. You know, I know it's a lot of money, and sometimes I say, you know, these guys make too much and nobody's worth that much, but if there's somebody who you're going to pay who may be worth something, you know, has given back to the community and done, you know, all this for your team and your city, you got to pay this guy, you know? But I think they could have done it sooner, and just, you know, it's just good that they did it, you know, for a Saints standpoint, you know? I'll let you know if it's good for me if I draft him again this year.
I'm hearing you there, my friend. And before we go further, I have just this little thing for you.
You're listening to Dreaded Sports Talk on the Dreaded Sports Talk Network. Network.
Yeah, a little ditty from Young Rebel Goombas, who, regardless of the fact that they're on another network right now, we're going to have them become the Dreaded Sports Talk. Why? Because the network doesn't have us. So we're gonna talk to Rich and the boys and see if they want to come on over and talk about them, their myths, which will be at baseball in just a second. But for the time being, here's something for you guys to consider. Does Roger Goodell have too much power? Because you got to realize, not only does he get the disciplined persons, but he also is the person who handles the appeals. Is that too much power? And explain yourself. Let's start with Daryl on this one.
Well, I think he does have too much power. I don't see a true board in the NFL where he takes and trusts his members to guide him in his decision. We all know that Roger's an attorney and he looks at everything and he will twist those rules to his liking, to suit him, so that he wins the case. And that's the way he's been doing things. Personally, I don't see a board there. The whole point of giving out like you have your first mate because you trust him and he has your back, you have his back. I don't see that with the NFL, and I see a big problem coming down the road.
That's a very good point. I have to hand you that. And see, here's the thing. There is no first mate for Goodell because he doesn't trust anybody, apparently, because at any moment, as we found out over months, Kim can take over any moment and he can throw anybody off the ship he so desires. And has.
Especially if you're a Yankee fan.
Exactly right, okay?
Amen.
So, Kim, what's your thinking on this issue?
Yeah, I think he has too much power, too. Whenever you hear about things going on in the NFL, you never hear any other name except for his. It's not like he referred to his board or his board of trustees or a committee, a panel. It's just all him. You don't even. I mean, I'd be hard pressed. I couldn't tell you without looking up anybody else who was part of, you know, the decision making process or the, you know, handing down the fines, suspensions. The, you know, he's pretty much the only name you got when it comes to the NFL. I know in the NHL you got different people. You hear about, you know, different people. You know, Brendan Shanahan gives out the discipline penalty. It's delegated him. It's just him and nobody else.
Yeah, and Greg Aiello, his director of communications, he just announces Goodell's decision.
He announces what he says, yeah.
Rogers, that my daddy said. No, no.
He's got no buddy bear backing him up. See that?
That's right. Everybody has their own person backing
the
him up.
The NFL needs a buddy bear.
And Daryl has his wife.
Wait a minute, am I married? I keep forgetting. I don't even know.
Carried on to the next film. John, what do you think about it?
Well, I've always thought that every commissioner has too much power. I mean, it goes back to Kenesaw Mountain Landis. He had, you know, I mean, he came over, he came into baseball and set up a essentially a kingdom, a fiefdom, and I think it's happened. You know, the whole commissioner system has often been abused in every major sport, particularly baseball and football, and you know, so I think it's not an unusual situation. That said, yeah, he has too much power. I mean, he has too much. When you're given the commission of a sports league, and you are essentially given free rein to run it the way you see fit, as long as you know your business model works, then and everybody's making money, and the fans are happy, and you're putting out a good product, then you know then all is well. It doesn't matter really what you do or how you run it, but it seems you know that kind of an autonomous. And I don't think dictatorship is too strong a word to use, has a tendency to unravel because if you don't get other opinions, if you don't allow some other input, then it comes a point where you really, I don't care how good your decision-making process is, there comes a point where you really can't trust it because you're seeing everything through your own prism, your own perspective, and you got to have some other input. So, I think he's setting himself up for a fall. I think that the league, the owners are going to get fed up with you know the iron fist, and I think it's going to be bad for everybody involved before it gets better.
Hear, hear. I agree with you there.
Hey, Captain, I'd like to throw something out there.
Okay.
You know, we're talking about grown men playing a kid's game and one man ruling the organization. No sports organization is perfect. I think we can all agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at NASCAR, the president, Mike Helton, the chairman, the France, Brian France. You got Robin Pemberton, John Darby, Jim France. I'm only naming these names because I've seen them on TV. I've heard them talk. They're the governing body of NASCAR. It's not perfect, but it's a good model. And I say that not just because I'm a fan and what they do for the fans, but because of the way they run that organization with the rulings and the adaptations, et cetera. And you don't see that in baseball or football or even Major League Soccer. But, again, no sports is perfect. No sports organization is perfect. And these are grown men playing a kid's game, making millions of dollars. There is no true ratio between that and Joe Public that has to buy the tickets to see this entertainment. And that's the point I wanted to make is that If they were to follow and look around out their window at the rest of the world and say, who could we be more like? I would probably have to say auto racing has the best model that Goodell has to follow. It is, and dictatorship was not too soft a word to use. I'm glad we're still talking about football. I kind of went blank there for a moment. dictatorship, are we still talking about football? So, and I just wanted to throw that out there. So that's I think a great view.
We are talking, and I believe it is too. And by the way, we're talking about football because I am so friggin' tired of waiting for it to start. In fact, just to throw this out there, I'm hoping as I go to a couple of Philadelphia Eagles training sessions that I can actually do my end from the training camp. So that would be great. I mean, you guys, and if I say, here comes Michael Vick, and you guys can be like, you know it's me. But,
that's all I park show all the time the anyway. Hey, I park all the time anyways. You know, it's the Browns.
Yes.
I think Max overheard you saying Michael Vick's name. He just got a little bit nervous here.
At least you didn't go get the shotgun, right? So, we're talking football. So, since we're speaking it before we get to baseball, in fact, we have 20 minutes to finish our discussion. I believe that we can do it, especially now that you guys know we only have 20 minutes to do it. So,
60 days. 60 days until opening day of football.
And it's not, can't come fast enough. That's why training camp
New York
is
teams
a good thing.
New York teams open camp July 25th. Then you have that Hall of Fame game is coming up soon. It's August 4th or August 5th. It's the Saints and with the greatest fantasy quarterback in history against the Cardinals with no quarterback.
and where is that game played? Where is that game played? Northeast Ohio.
Yeah, in Ohio, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, John, you see how they are? I mean, goodness. You and I are both displaced. They're in the land of their home teams. I am not in Chicago presently, and you are not in the D.C. area. So, wow. They just that they picked on us.
Well, you know, if I was still up in the D.C. area, I'm sure I'd be doing the same thing. But now, I've got to be a little bit more tolerant. I guess.
John, I have a question for you.
Okay.
I'll gladly put on a pig nose with you, but you don't wear a dress, do you?
I think the last time that I put on a dress and cheered on a football team was in high school during the Powder Puff game. And
well,
yet I had this beard back in high school, so I possibly made the single ugliest cheerleader in the history of the sport.
Powder Puff? No.
So
you know what?
So
I hope my picture doesn't come out. No, wait. I was worse. Sorry. You were probably Miss America.
Well, you'll have a chance to put that dress back on December 16th, I believe it is, when the Redskins come to Cleveland.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I think I'll just go with I don't even have a Griffin jersey yet. I keep saying it, but I need to get one. I still have a Jason Campbell jersey.
Hey, Captain, how smart was it that Adidas signed RG3? How smart was that? Because if you think about that, he is going to be the first player ever to be wearing the third. They are going to be three hash marks, and what is Adidas's logo?
Oh, exactly. But I find it very funny to sign with Adidas when Nike has the contract with the NFL. That's going to be fun.
It's going to be very fun.
It's like Michael Jordan. I mean, I hear what you're saying. Remember Michael Jordan with the Dream Team, how he was such a brand master that he was so loyal that he put the flag, he placed it just so the logo of Adidas wasn't going to show during the Olympics. Of course,
yep.
RG3. That's kind of be so, guys, I have to ask this question. We're gonna skip it a couple of categories here because this is something on my mind as well. So, since I threw that out there about the Olympics, they're coming. I have a problem with the Olympics. Who in the hell allowed them to get our uniforms made in China? Okay? Cam, you can attack this one first while I get back in on it.
They said they're going to dress us up in uniforms made in China and French berets. That's the American team. I everything's made in China. I bet that wasn't even. I bet they weren't even aware of that until somebody looked at the label. That's, I mean, we can't make our own.
Well,
you know, I don't understand. No, it's totally wrong. It's when I heard that, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, they could have put like.
Martha Stewart make the uniforms or something, you know?
well, you know, I mean, back the Salt Lake City games, they had the uniforms for the torchbearers. They had them made in Burma.
Yes.
You know, nobody raised a stink back then.
Well, Burma doesn't own half of us.
No, but Burma was a military dictatorship. They even had one torchbearer that took I remember at the time, there was one torchbearer who did make a stink and said she took one look at the label, saw where it was made, and said, no, I will not wear something made in Myanmar. And they actually modified the uniform for her.
That's good. I thought you were going to say they modified the label.
Well, that may have been all they did. I don't know, but they may have just taken it out back and, you know.
But takes the voice of one. That's all it takes, the voice of one. And it gets out there and people hear it and it spreads like wildfire. Which, here's a new statement. It spreads like Facebook. But it does. And it's like, holy, you know, and he said, well, Ralph Lauren said, well, okay, we're going to change this and we're going to make arrangements for the next years to be made in America and made by the textile companies of America. Well, that's all fine and good, but we look kind of silly right now with this. So
I think so, too.
Well,
speaking of silliness, we might as well attack this while we can, too. Everyone gear up. Here we go. Since we have about 13 minutes left, the TiVo issue. Let's start with John. John, how will TiVo do this year?
Hey, I don't think he's going to do it all. I think Sanchez is going to be the starter. He's not a horrible quarterback, but he's not a great quarterback. You know, he's not as good as Sanchez, and Sanchez would be better if he would, you know, if he wasn't having to look over his shoulder every game. I mean, unfortunately, it doesn't matter Tebow or Sanchez. It doesn't matter if you could put Joe Theismann or Dan Marino on that team, and they would still falter because their coach is a boob.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Well, I know one thing. He looks like a linebacker right now. Do you see how big he is now, how much additional weight and muscle he put on during the offseason?
Yeah, he definitely got bigger. Yeah.
Well, that's because he doesn't, you know, boy doesn't go out. You know, he's all teetotaler Christian and all that stuff. You know, he doesn't got nothing to do but work out.
That's exactly right. Lack of panani makes you put on muscle.
That's right. Well, I tell you what, I was the weakest person on my team in the come fall, but anyway.
Yeah. just. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Blame it on tequila. So, that being said, Darryl, I'd love to hear you weigh in.
Oh, I think Tebow will do a lot better this year if he doesn't have that Friar Tuck haircut, and I don't think that's going to happen. So just that alone will make him a better quarterback.
Okay. Oh, all right, Ken. Boy.
Do you remember the pictures from last year, how they got him his rookie season?
Yes,
they gave him that. That Friar, I mean, come on. He can't get any worse. He's already at work.
I think it's going to be a circus. He's not going to play. But the worst thing is when you have it's going to be the same situation he just left in Denver when Kyle Orton was the quarterback. Everybody wanted him out. Sanchez has a bad game or two to start the season, and they're going to start with a chance, and it's going to be all over New York sports talk radio, and it's going to be it's just going to make for not a good situation. And I don't think he's an NFL quarterback. If I was him, I would maybe look. He can run the ball. Make him a running back. He can't throw. His completion percentage, all everything you're looking at for a quarterback was just abysmal last year. And the Jets' offensive line, they made some improvements this year. They brought some people in. But it doesn't work out. Sanchez was running for his life every time he dropped back to pass. And then you got Holmes, who's just going to is just looking to cause trouble. And I blame the Jets. The Jets had a chance to let him go or trade him, and they re-upped him for another, I think it was 2 years, $5 million. He just signed an extension. Why the
there
Jets,
you go.
So they get whatever they deserve because of that, because he's just already looking to stir the pot. He just commented today, I don't think the two-quarterback situation is going to work. I think he does that just to get his name. I think he's like an egomaniac. He's got to see his name in print. But he's, you know, he's not well-liked with his teammates. He quit on them last year. Between him, Rex Ryan, and Tebow, it's going to be like a circus here. And that's before they even get on the field.
Holmes is going to be a big distraction. You're right. And, you know, the whole Tebow versus Sanchez thing, like I said, Sanchez having to look over his shoulder every, you know, it's going to be worse than it was last year for him. He's going to be having to look over his shoulder every series, every down, you know, to see if he's getting yanked. And if they had an innovative coaching staff, what they would do is they would make Tebow a running back of some sort, but with an option. You know, I mean, there's no law that says you cannot have an option quarterback in the NFL.
Well, no, I don't know. Goodell's looking into that.
Yeah. And he's big enough to handle the punishment. Most option quarterbacks are small and quick. He can't do that in the NFL. He's got the size. He's got the bulk. You know, he can take the hits. That would make sense, what you're saying.
That's the one thing that really does give him a leg up on Sanchez. With the offensive line that the Jets have, you need somebody that can take the punishment, because it's not like they're going to block for him.
That's true. They'll say, let's see a miracle. We're not blocking the one. You never know. Well, now that we've talked about Tebow, the next thing is, what about Peyton Manning? How's that going to work out for him? Start off with you, Daryl.
He's going to be a great teacher. That's it. I don't think he's going to do anything. He's got to pass his physicals. He's got to make it through training camp without being injured. I know the guy is going to have kid gloves on him. It's Peyton Manning. He's got, you know, Indianapolis Colts still on him. I don't see him slicing and dicing the defenses the way he did with the Colts pre-neck injury. I don't see it happening. I don't see Denver having their offensive line stocked up the way they did back in Red Right 88 in the drive. But I don't see Peyton Manning coming out and having a phenomenal year with Denver this year. I don't see it happening. It'll be interesting. It'll make football interesting to watch, but I don't think he's going to do it.
Well, you know what? I got to say this here. I got to step in before I let anyone else speak, because I just want to bring up one thing. The division he's in. You know why he chose the Broncos? He doesn't have to play well, because he only has to beat the Chargers, the Chiefs, and the Raiders. Hello? That's six wins right there.
That's a good point.
So
I'll drink to that.
John, what are you thinking about his career?
Nobody ever said the man was stupid. I mean, you know, he's... If I had to choose a division to go to, I think that's probably the one I would pick.
Absolutely right, man. I'm telling you, that's no other way to look at it. That's exactly it. What about you, Ken? What are you thinking about his year?
I don't see any receivers, a solid go-to guy that he has. Eric Decker and that guy, Demaryius Thomas. Unless one of them steps up, they don't have, a proven NFL go-to guy. Plus, I thought he might have chosen a warm weather, you know, place to play. So in Denver in November and December is awfully rough to, you know, throw the ball in. And without receivers, they've always been a running team, Denver. They actually ran the ball quite well last year. Willis McGahee had like a, you know, basically a comeback. He was actually, you know, relevant again. And then the guys they plugged in behind him, you know, the line could work the run well, but they didn't protect the quarterback well. And with the neck injury, I don't know. I would have thought he might have gone to Miami. With, you know, Marino's his friend down there, I thought he would have done that and, you know, been in a warmer climate. Although they're not really stocked at receiver either. So I don't think he's going to be that great. That's the bottom line. If he stays injury free, he'll be okay. But he's not going to. It's not going to be like the old Peyton Manning. And don't forget, he's not the old Pete. He's a lot older than he was. You're not going to see the Peyton Manning of 5 years ago with the Colts.
No, I agree with you. Well, do you know, we've hit quite a few important points, but as we leave, I would like everyone to, and we have about 3 minutes and 30 seconds, so everyone, check your watches. Should I get this done in 30 to 45 seconds? Talk about your own sports interest stories right now that's on your mind, whether it's your team or whatever. We'll start with you, Daryl. You're on the clock.
All right, well, the Indians are 46-44. They lost tonight to the Tampa Bay Rays. Still the Devil Rays in my heart. I don't care what they do with their name. We're at 5'11", and I believe it looks like we're only a half a game back now. So we're coming up on those White Sox who signed Euclid. He had his homecoming to Boston and got a good warm reception there. Detroit's in second. So baseball is baseball. I like baseball. Baseball has been very, very good to me.
All right. John, what say you as we depart this evening on air?
Well, first off, I have to say Jay New Ignorant slept in very, very good to me. Oh, no, sorry. Wrong routine. Well, my Nationals are holding on to first place. They're still scrapping. My Orioles have begun their inevitable slide, but if they can stay in second, even third, I'd be happy at the end of the season. I mean, it's an improvement. I find it ironic, though, that they began to fade after Roberts came back. I mean, I don't think that there's any correlation, but I do find it ironic. I've got high hopes for my Skins. I think maybe they finally going to get their act together, but then again, I think that every year. I've got high hopes for my Wizards, but then again, I have high hopes for them every year, and they let me down. So, and the Caps, well, I don't know why they didn't do everything they could to retain their interim coach as a permanent coach, but I hope it works out for them.
All right, Ken.
I'm looking forward to the football season. My baseball season's pretty much over. Although I've been watching the whole game here as we have been doing this the last 2 hours. John, the Twins are 4-4 with the Orioles right now after six.
Yeah, I know. The Orioles were up 4-1,
yeah. The Twins just left second and third with one out and didn't get them in. That's the story of the season. Yeah, football, I'm waiting for that because I still follow my team and watch them, but it's just kind of... Unless the Indians and the Tigers and the White Sox are all on the same bus and it goes over a cliff, we're not going to make the playoffs.
All right. But next week, I appreciate everyone, John and Daryl and Ken, and this is the captain. All I have to say is the Bears. The Sox suck. Wait till next year. The Blackhawks have the greatest sweaters in the world, and... most of all, get well, Derek Rose. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to Dreaded Sports Talk. Thank you very much.
Excuse me? I know. No, just ended.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio with Captain Frank and Dredd.
Hey little girl, won't you come with me? We'll climb the branches of a mango tree. Laugh and sing, happy as can be.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio. Radio.